A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about B2B procurement, specifically for people buying from platforms like Alibaba, where the whole thing kicks off with an RFQ. His point is that a badly written RFQ works like an untargeted software spec. You get flooded with poor-fit vendors and waste weeks sifting through noise. Nail a precise one, though, and selecting the right seller becomes almost straightforward. He's asking what people consistently get wrong, and how to build an RFQ that actually works.
This matters more now than it ever has. Alibaba alone processes millions of RFQs daily across its B2B marketplace, every single day. The signal-to-noise ratio is brutal, and it's getting worse as more buyers flood in from every corner of the world.
The buyer who masters precision is the one who wins on price, quality, and speed. Everyone else is just shouting, "I need a thing," into a stadium of 50,000 suppliers and hoping the right one raises a hand.
They'll get 500 hands.
That's the episode. What breaks and how to fix it?
Let's define the thing properly, because RFQ gets tossed around as a buzzword. A request for quote. In B2B procurement, it's a formal invitation you send to suppliers asking them to bid on a specific product or service. On Alibaba, it's typically the first structured step after you've browsed listings, maybe messaged a few sellers, and decided you're serious. You're saying, "Here's exactly what I need. Tell me what you'll charge and how you'll deliver it."
The key word there is structured. Before the RFQ, you're window shopping. After it, you're in a formal sourcing process. It's the gate.
And that's where most people stumble, because they don't treat it as a filtering mechanism. An RFQ has one job: let the right suppliers through and block everyone else. A vague one passes everything. You get 50 quotes for products that technically match your description, but differ wildly on materials, tolerances, packaging, everything. An overly rigid one passes nothing. You scare off good suppliers who could have met your needs with a minor adjustment, or you specify something that doesn't exist at your price point.
The art is finding that precision sweet spot. Enough detail that a qualified supplier reads it and thinks, "I know exactly what they want and I can deliver it." Enough flexibility that you're not eliminating people over irrelevant technicalities.
Compare this to B2C buying, where you search, click, and it shows up at your door. In B2B, the RFQ sets terms for price, quality, lead time, compliance, and payment all at once. Get it wrong, and the error compounds through your entire supply chain. Wrong materials arrive, customs gets messy, your timeline collapses. There's no returns button when you ordered 5,000 units of something built to your spec.
Why is it so easy to get wrong? I'd argue it's because most buyers don't know what they don't know. They think they need stainless steel water bottles, 500 milliliters. Turns out that describes about 400 different products at wildly different price points, and half of them will rust in 6 months.
Right, and the supplier isn't mind-reading. They'll quote you the cheapest version that meets your literal words, because they assume that's what you want if you didn't specify otherwise. The RFQ doesn't just communicate requirements. It communicates how serious and knowledgeable you are as a buyer.
Let's walk through where this actually breaks. Mistake number one, and I've seen this more times than I can count, is what I call the copy-paste spec dump. Buyer finds a product they like, copies the entire description from a competitor's listing or a product manual, pastes it into the RFQ, and hits send. They think they're being thorough. They're actually creating ambiguity.
Procurement Tactics did research on this. RFQs with vague or contradictory specs generate 3 times more irrelevant bids. And here's why the copy-paste approach is worse than writing nothing at all. You're importing someone else's assumptions. That competitor's description might reference materials or tolerances that are irrelevant to your use case, or worse, contradict what you actually need. The supplier reads it, spots the inconsistencies, and now they're guessing.
When suppliers guess, they guess cheap. They quote the lowest cost interpretation of your jumbled specs because they know other suppliers will do the same, and they want to win the bid. You end up with 40 quotes for 40 different products, all technically matching your description. None of them actually comparable.
Mistake number two, and this one is shockingly common. Omitting commercial terms entirely. No payment structure, no Incoterms, no delivery window. You'd be amazed how many RFQs just say, quote me your best price, and stop there.
Which means one supplier quotes FOB Shenzhen with a 30% deposit, another quotes CIF Rotterdam with full payment up front, a third quotes EXW with net 60 terms. You're comparing apples to orangutans. There's no way to evaluate those side by side.
We did a whole episode on Incoterms, episode 306, The Hidden Grammar of Global Trade. But the short version is, if you don't specify FOB versus CIF, you don't know whether that price includes shipping and insurance. The difference can be 15 to 20% of your total landed cost. You're flying blind.
You get 50 quotes and can't compare any of them. That's not procurement. That's collecting random numbers.
Mistake number three is the price first trap. The RFQ that opens with, I need the cheapest stainless steel water bottles, or looking for lowest price on custom packaging. What that actually signals to the market is, I don't care about quality, I don't care about compliance, I care about one number.
The suppliers who respond are exactly the ones you don't want. They'll hit your price point by cutting material grade, skipping certifications, using thinner walls, whatever it takes. The good suppliers, the ones with ISO certifications and proper factory audits, they read that and walk away. They know they can't compete on price alone, and they're not going to waste a quote on someone who'll just take the cheapest option.
They self-select out. Your RFQ has filtered for the bottom of the market.
Which brings us to mistake four. Ignoring qualification criteria. No request for certifications, no factory audit reports, no sample policy, no reference customers. You've turned your RFQ into a pure price auction.
On Alibaba specifically, suppliers have a daily quota of RFQ responses. Each supplier gets a limited number per day based on their membership tier. If your RFQ is vague, missing commercial terms, price obsessed, and asks for no qualifications, you're asking them to burn one of their limited responses on what looks like a tire kicker.
They skip it. The suppliers who do respond are the ones desperate enough to burn quota on anything, which is exactly the selection bias you don't want.
The flip side works in your favor. A precise RFQ, the one that says FOB Shanghai, 30% deposit, balance against bill of lading copy, ISO 9001 required, samples within 10 days. That signals you're a serious buyer who knows what they're doing. Suppliers want those RFQs. They'll prioritize responding because they know the deal is real and the evaluation will be fair.
I love that example because it's so concrete. A buyer who sends that RFQ for stainless steel water bottles, specifying grade 304, wall thickness, lid type, and all those commercial terms, gets four highly relevant quotes instead of 40 irrelevant ones. Same product, same platform, completely different outcome.
The evaluation takes an afternoon instead of 3 weeks. That's the real cost of a bad RFQ, not just the bad suppliers you attract, but the time you lose filtering them out. Time is the one thing you can't negotiate back. The damage doesn't stop once you've wasted 3 weeks filtering garbage quotes. There's a nastier knock-on effect that most buyers never see coming, what I'd call the race to the bottom.
Walk me through it.
When your RFQ lacks specificity, suppliers quote their absolute lowest margin product just to win the bid. They know the specs are loose, so they interpret everything in the cheapest possible direction. Thinnest material that technically qualifies, bare minimum packaging, no testing. Then, once they've got the order, the upsell begins. Oh, you wanted food-grade silicone? That's an upgrade. You wanted reinforced stitching? That's extra.
The buyer who thought they were saving money by staying vague ends up paying more than if they'd specified everything correctly up front. The cheap quote was never real.
And the supplier isn't necessarily being dishonest. You didn't say you wanted those things. From their perspective, you asked for the cheapest version and they delivered the cheapest version. The upgrade costs are legitimate. You just failed to define what the product actually was.
It's like ordering a car and getting a go-kart, then paying extra for doors.
The second knock-on effect is relationship damage. Suppliers talk, not in some shadowy cabal, but within their own companies. If you're the buyer who sends vague RFQs and then subjects them to 3 rounds of clarification emails, they remember. The Procurify research is clear on this. Clear RFQs build long-term supplier partnerships. The flip side is that messy RFQs burn trust, and repeat buyers get priority while one-off vague RFQs get deprioritized.
On a platform like Alibaba, where the best suppliers are managing dozens of inquiries a day, being deprioritized means your RFQ sits unanswered while someone else's order gets manufactured.
Let's shift from diagnosis to system. What does a good RFQ actually look like structurally? I think of it as a pyramid with 3 layers.
I like pyramids.
Bottom layer, product specs. Materials, dimensions, tolerances, finish, color, whatever defines the physical thing. This is your foundation. If this layer is wrong, nothing above it matters. Price structure, payment terms, Incoterms, lead time, packaging requirements, shipping method. This is where you make quotes comparable. Certifications, factory audit reports, reference customers, sample policy, minimum order quantity. This is where you prove the supplier can actually deliver what the bottom 2 layers describe.
Each layer filters suppliers progressively. If they can't meet your material spec, they're out before they even see your payment terms. If they can meet the spec but can't do FOB Shenzhen with a 30% deposit, they're out before you bother checking their ISO certification.
That's the beauty of it. You're not evaluating 40 suppliers on all 3 layers simultaneously. You're eliminating them layer by layer, which saves enormous time.
How do you write an RFQ that suppliers actually want to answer? Beyond just being precise, what makes it sticky?
First, structured formatting. Tables, clear sections, bullet points, not a wall of text. A supplier scanning your RFQ should understand the product in 30 seconds. Second, include a brief company introduction. Who you are, what you do, where you're based. That's a legitimacy signal. It tells them you're a real business, not someone who'll disappear after asking for samples.
Third, this one's underrated. Specify the response format you want. Quote in US dollars, FOB Shenzhen, with unit price, tooling cost if any, and lead time in days. Now every response lands in the same format and comparison is instant.
The trade.gov RFQ template recommends something else that surprises people. Include a scope of work section even for simple products. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Just a few lines that say, we need 5,000 stainless steel water bottles for a corporate gift program, delivery by November, branded with a single color logo. That context helps suppliers understand your real constraints.
There's a technique I found particularly effective, the negative specification. Explicitly stating what you do not want.
That's powerful. Give me an example.
No recycled materials. No plastic packaging. No MOQ above 5,000 units. No air freight. Sea shipping only. You're pre-filtering suppliers who would otherwise waste your time proposing alternatives you'll never accept. It's almost rude how effective it is.
Because most RFQs only describe the positive, what you want. The negative spec closes the loopholes. A supplier who only has recycled material stock reads that line and bows out immediately instead of sending you a quote and then negotiating for 3 days.
Now, once the quotes come back, and if you've done this right, you're looking at maybe 5 to 12 responses, not 80. How do you evaluate them without falling back into gut feel territory?
This is where the whole system pays off. Assign weights before you open a single quote. Price 40%, quality 30%, lead time 20%, compliance 10%. Then score each supplier against those criteria and stick to the numbers.
The best RFQ is one that makes evaluation mechanical, not emotional. You're not falling in love with the supplier's friendly email or panicking because one quote came in high. You run the matrix and the answer falls out.
I want to ground this with a real example. European electronics buyer sourcing printed circuit boards from Alibaba. First RFQ was vague, basically PCB, 100 millimeters by 50 millimeters, 2-layer. Got 87 responses. Took 3 weeks to filter, half of them didn't meet basic industry standards.
That's not procurement, that's a part-time job.
Second attempt, same buyer, same product. This time they specified IPC, A600 Class 2 standards, UL94 V0 rating, and a 10-day lead time. All 12 were qualified. Deal closed in 5 days.
from 3 weeks to 5 days. That's the precision dividend.
Another one, custom packaging. Buyer 1 specified only dimensions and quantity. Buyer 2 added craft paper, 300 GSM, soy-based ink, FSC certified, flat-packed, 30-day payment terms. Buyer 2 paid 12% more per unit but had zero quality issues, zero delays, zero headaches.
When you factor in the cost of fixing a bad order, returns, rework, lost time, damaged customer relationships, that 12% premium probably netted out cheaper.
So the system is pyramid structure for your requirements, sticky formatting with negative specs, and a scoring matrix for evaluation. That's the repeatable framework. We've built the system. Now let me give you 4 things you can do before your next RFQ, like within the hour.
I like it.
First, before you write a single line, split your requirements into must-haves and nice-to-haves. Must-haves go in the RFQ body. Nice-to-haves go in an appendix. This stops scope creep cold. You're not tempted to stuff everything into the main spec, and suppliers don't get confused about what's negotiable versus what's non-negotiable.
If a supplier can't meet a must-have, they're out immediately. You don't waste time discovering that on the 3rd round of emails.
Second, always include a response template. Tell them exactly how to format their quote. Unit price in US dollars, tooling cost as a separate line, lead time in calendar days, payment terms, and your ISO certification number. That's it. Now every response lands in the same shape, comparison is instant, and this is the hidden bonus. You immediately see which suppliers can follow instructions.
Which is a shockingly good proxy for reliability. If they can't format a quote the way you asked, what are the odds they'll manufacture to your tolerance spec?
Third, flip the 3-bid rule. Don't send your RFQ to a dozen suppliers cold. First, send a short screening questionnaire to maybe 8 or 10. 3 questions. Can you manufacture to this spec? What certifications do you hold? Provide 1 reference customer. The ones who answer coherently, those 3 to 5, they get the full RFQ.
The RFQ becomes the second step, not the first. You're pre-qualifying before you ask anyone to invest real time.
That respects the supplier's time too, which circles back to the relationship point. Fourth, review your RFQ template quarterly. Markets shift, new certifications appear, your own requirements evolve. A stale RFQ from 18 months ago might be missing a compliance standard that's now table stakes, or your volume has doubled and the old MOQ assumptions don't hold.
A stale RFQ is almost as bad as a vague one. It's precisely wrong instead of vaguely wrong, which might actually be worse because you feel confident about it.
Must-haves versus nice-to-haves. Pre-qualify before the RFQ. None of these requires a consultant or new software. You can do all of them this afternoon. Which brings us to the question Daniel's prompt implicitly raises. Where's this all heading? We're seeing AI-powered procurement tools emerge now, things that can generate an RFQ automatically from a product spec sheet. Feed it dimensions, materials, tolerances, and it spits out a structured RFQ with suggested commercial terms. The question is whether the human art of writing RFQs becomes obsolete or whether it becomes more valuable as a differentiator.
I'd argue it becomes more valuable. An AI can format a spec sheet into an RFQ template that's genuinely useful for the mechanical parts, but it doesn't know your actual risk tolerance. It doesn't know that you got burned by a supplier in Yiwu 2 years ago, and now you're cautious about certain material grades. It doesn't know your customer's unspoken expectations.
Context and intent. Those are hard to automate. The best RFQ writers will be the ones who combine domain expertise, actually understanding the product and its failure modes, with the structured thinking we've been describing. AI can assist with the structure. It can't replace the judgment.
The negative specification, for example. No recycled materials, no plastic packaging. That comes from experience, from having learned what goes wrong. An AI doesn't have scar tissue.
So the skill isn't going away, it's evolving. The procurement professional of 5 years from now won't be typing RFQs from a blank page. They'll be editing and refining AI-generated drafts, adding the context and the negative specs and the qualification criteria that only come from actually having sourced products before.
Here's the one thing I'd leave listeners with. Next time you source a product, spend 30 minutes on your RFQ, not 5 minutes copying a competitor's description and typing, "Send best price." A full 30. define your must-haves and nice-to-haves. Write the commercial terms explicitly. Add a response template. State what you don't want. 30 minutes up front saves you days of evaluation, weeks of negotiation, and the kind of quality disaster that costs far more than any unit price difference.
The time you invest in the RFQ is time you don't spend fixing what a bad RFQ breaks. That's the trade, and it's one of the highest leverage half hours in all of procurement.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1720s, navigators in Tierra del Fuego widely believed that the rules of Sepak Takraw, specifically the prohibition on hand contact, were originally devised to prevent sailors from spreading scurvy through shared touch, a theory later abandoned when anyone remembered that scurvy is caused by vitamin deficiency, not volleyball.
I have so many questions, and I'm going to ask exactly none of them.
The image of sailors playing Sepak Takraw in Tierra del Fuego is going to live in my head for a while.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.